With the ringing of that bell, we welcome you back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. I hope you'll get your Bible at this time, and we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16, where Simon Peter answered Jesus when he said, Jesus said, Whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We're in a series of lessons on the great men and women of the Bible and the great men and women of the New Testament, and we have come to this study of Peter. But always, when we study the Bible, it's really about Christ. And so as we study Peter, we're going to study what Jesus said about Jesus, or what Peter said about Jesus. And so be ready to follow along with that as we proceed. Now, before I get into the lesson today, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And our teacher is E. A. Elam, coming to us by way of Sunday school lessons that he wrote, and this one for the Sunday of July the 15th, 1923. Now, as we were reading in Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 13, when Jesus said, Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? In Matthew 16:16, we read, And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, we were talking in our last class what it means to be the Christ. The word Christ is the word Messiah. That's the Hebrew word. Christ is the Greek word. And both Messiah and Christ means anointed. It shows the work or office of Jesus Christ. Prophets, priests, and kings were anointed to their stations in the Old Testament. Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he is both a prophet, priest, and king, the ultimate prophet, the ultimate priest, the ultimate king. He was made both Lord and Christ, Acts 2:39, and was made high priest, Hebrews 7:20-28. David was anointed king long before he was crowned and began to serve. And so was Jesus. Let me read to you from the book of Philippians what Paul said in Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. He wrote, Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, counted it not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, yea, the death of the cross. Wherefore also God highly exalted him, and gave unto him the name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things on earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. We read in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, But we behold him who hath been made a little lower than the angels, even Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God he should taste death for every man. In Hebrews 7:12 through verse 14 we read, For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are said belongeth to another tribe, from which no man hath given attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord hath sprung out of Judah, as to which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. But Hebrews chapter 8, 1 through 6 goes on and says, Now in the things which we are saying, the chief point is this. We have such a high priest, who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices, whereof it is necessary that this high priest also have somewhat to offer. Now if he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all, seeing that there are those who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve that which is a copy and shadow of heavenly things, even as Moses warned of God when he was about to make the tabernacle for. See, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern that was shown thee in the mount. But now hath obtained a ministry the more excellent. By so much he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which hath been enacted upon better promises. What else people believe about Jesus? They must believe in him as the Christ, the Son of the living God, in order to be saved by him. We read in Romans chapter 3 and verse 26 that he is the justifier of him that hath faith in Jesus. And in Romans 10 verses 6 through 10, But the righteousness which is of faith saith thus, Say not in thy heart, Who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who shall descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach. Because if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We need to receive Jesus and receive his teaching as of the teaching of a prophet. Let me read Matthew chapter 7, 24 through 29. Jesus said, Everyone therefore that heareth these words of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded on the rock. And every one that heareth these words of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and smote upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall thereof. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these words, the multitudes were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as a scribe. We need to accept Jesus and accept him as a sacrifice on the cross for their sins, whose blood cleanses from all sin. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 we read, If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanseth us from all sin. Without Jesus and without his blood, there is no remission of sins. We read in Hebrews chapter 9, and I'm going to turn in my Bible here, to Hebrews chapter 9, beginning in verse 15. And for this cause, he is the mediator of a new covenant, that a death having taken place for the redemption of the transgression that were under the first covenant, that they might have been called may receive the promise of eternal life. For where a testament is, there must of necessity be the death of him that made it. For a testament is a force where there hath been death, for it doth never avail while he that made it liveth. Wherefore even the first covenant hath not been dedicated without blood. For when every commandment had been spoken by Moses unto all the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and of the goats with the water and the scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant which God commanded to you ward." Moreover, the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry he sprinkled in like manner with blood. And then Hebrews chapter 9:22, "And according to the law, I may almost say, all things are cleansed with blood, and apart from the shedding of blood, there is no remission." Did you see that? Let me read that again, and listen. Hebrews chapter 9 in verse 22, "Apart from the shedding of blood, there is no remission." Going on in verse 23, "It was necessary, therefore, that the copies of the things in heaven should be cleansed with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ entered not into a holy place made with hands, like in pattern to the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear before the face of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place year by year, with blood not his own. Else must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once, at the end of the ages, hath he been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And inasmuch as is it appointed unto men once to die, and after this cometh judgment, so Christ also, having been once offered to bear the sins of many, shall appear a second time apart from sin to them that wait for him unto salvation." If we're going to accept Christ, we've got to accept the fact that his blood was shed for the remission of sins. Hebrews 9:22, "Apart from the shedding of blood, there is no remission." And also, concerning Jesus, we trust him as the advocate, the mediator, and the priest. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, John wrote, "My little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world." In 1 Timothy 2, verses 5 and 6, we read, "For there is one God, one mediator also between God and man, himself man, Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all, the testimony to be born in its own times." Hebrews 8 and verse 6, "But now he hath obtained a ministry more excellent, by so much as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which hath been enacted upon better promises." And then in Hebrews chapter 7, we read in verse 22 through 28 how Jesus became the surety of a better covenant. "And they indeed have been made priests many in number, because that by death they are hindered from continuing. But he, because he abideth forever, hath this priesthood unchangeable. Wherefore also he is able to save to the uttermost them that draw near to God through him, seeing he ever liveth to maketh intercession for them." We're going to continue there in our next class. But when we believe Jesus is the Christ, these are the things we accept about him.